Welcome to the Awakening Bible Hour with D.R. Harrison. Our desire is that God would awaken the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us now as D.R. brings this week's message, God's Amazing Grace.
Luke chapter number 15. We'll begin reading verse number 11. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. The thought on my heart tonight is God's amazing grace. God's amazing grace. Heavenly Father, help me now. Thank you, Lord, for what we have felt under this tent. God, we felt your presence as soon as we pulled in the driveway tonight. God, I thank you for that. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for singers singing with the anointing of God on them. Lord, that makes all the difference in the world for people that sing to know who they're singing about. God, thank you, Lord, for setting the atmosphere to worship tonight. I pray, God, you bless the message. I pray, Lord, for that one that may be far away from you tonight. I pray, Father, Lord, that tonight, Lord, they would experience your amazing grace, bringing them back to yourself. God, I pray, Lord, you preach me as if it's my last time. God, give me unction from another world. Touch my voice. Touch my mind. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. And God, encourage us all tonight, for it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
You can be seated. This is a very familiar portion of Scripture, Luke chapter number 15. Whenever you look at the first part of Luke chapter 15, it talks about the lost sheep. And then as you move forward into the passage of Scripture, it talks about the lost silver, if you will, the lost coin. But then we get into the latter part of Luke chapter number 15, and it talks about the lost son. As we see here in our text tonight, most of us have heard about the prodigal son, and we've heard it preached one of two ways. Some preachers preach it as if the prodigal son was lost and got saved, and some preach it as if he was saved and got away from God and then came back to the Father. I want to preach it that way tonight, and I want to talk about God's amazing grace. Before I get started, how many is thankful for God's amazing grace tonight? It took God's grace to save me, and it took God's grace to save you, and It took God's grace to get you here tonight, and it's been because of God's grace that He's met with us tonight, and it's because of God's grace we've been able to worship Him in His presence tonight, and it'll be God's grace if we get through this service, and it'll be God's grace if you make it home, and it'll be God, you get where I'm going with this, it'll be God's grace if you draw another breath, and it'll be God's grace if we're able to meet back tomorrow, and it'll be God's grace no matter what you do in your life. And I want to stop here and say that if it not for the grace of God, I'd be on the backside of hell tonight, and I'd be in the same shape as this prodigal son was in. If it wasn't for God's grace, you'd be in a pig pen tonight, walking around with a bunch of pigs. If it wasn't for God's grace, you'd still be smoking dope. And if it wasn't for God's grace, God help me now, you'd still be drinking liquor. And if it wasn't for God's grace, your marriage would be to shambles. And if it wasn't for God's grace, your church would be split down the middle. But all of us could stop right here and lift a hand to God and thank God that it's because of God's amazing grace that we've not been consumed by the enemy. I'm thankful tonight for God's amazing grace. Lord, help me. I said I'm thankful tonight for God's amazing grace. Do you remember where you were when Jesus found you? I said, do you remember where you were when Jesus found you? You may have been just a lost preacher's kid, or you may have been a drunk on the street, but either way, it took God's amazing grace. I'm thankful for amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Thank God I was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's because His grace, hallelujah to God, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. Hallelujah to God. It's grace that's got us to this point. It'll be grace that get us on home. I'm thankful for God's amazing, marvelous grace tonight. We see this son gets out of bed one day, and just like most teenagers do, they get a wild streak in them. He says, Dad, give me what you owe me. Now you have to understand here, when you look at this passage of Scripture, he's asking for his inheritance from his daddy that's still breathing air. Most of the time you don't get your inheritance until your father or your mother's dead. This boy had got so much pride in him, he had the gall to go to his daddy while his daddy was still breathing and ask his daddy for his inheritance. And his daddy had every right, turn me up, Randy, his daddy had every right to look at his boy and say, nope, you ain't getting it. He had every right to look at his son and say, no, you don't deserve it. He had every right to look at his son and say, nope, I'm not giving you that. You don't deserve it. You're walking away from the family. You're walking away from everything I taught you. You're walking away from all the things that I've tried to do for you. I'm not going to give it to you. But the father loved the son so much, the father loved his boy so much, that he gave him his inheritance, knowing he was fixing to walk down a path that was going to end in destruction. We see the rebellion of the son. This son had a heart full of rebellion. The Bible says that the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. The Bible says an evil man only seeketh rebellion. The Bible says rebellious people dwell in a dry land. This boy had a heart full of rebellion, but the father still loved him. I remember when I had a heart full of rebellion. I remember when I didn't want nothing to do with God. I remember whenever I didn't want nothing to do with God's amazing grace. I remember when I didn't want nothing to do with God's mercy and His love, but God still loved me so much. God still cared for me so much. God still extended His amazing grace down to my old unworthy heart. I'm thankful. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that in spite of me, God still loved me. I'm thankful in spite of who I was, God still loved me. I'm thankful in spite of all that I did, God still loved me. How do you remember staying when you weren't worthy, but God still loved you? Do you remember when we didn't deserve His grace? God gave us His amazing grace. That is rebellion. Then we we see that he left his rebellion and he started down this road. How many of you know the road that you take away from God will always lead you down a road you never thought you'd take? But how many of you know that road's followed by God's amazing grace? Oh, I feel the Lord up here tonight. Every stop sign you go by, it's got God's amazing grace on it. How many of you know when you went down that road to destruction, it seemed like every billboard you ever saw had John 3:16 on it? How many of you know every time you walked down that road away from God, every time you walked into Walmart and went into the bathroom, there was a gospel tract laying on the toilet saying, God so loved the world. How many of you know every time you walked away from God, there was some stranger come up to you and say, hey, I want to tell you about this man named Jesus. Why? Because God's grace, it never runs out. It don't matter what road you're on. It don't matter which way you're going. God's amazing grace will follow you all the way to the pig pen. The road he went down. Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end there way is the ways of death. We see his rebellion. We see his road. We're getting where we're going. Just stick with me. We see that this road led to his rubbish. We see it didn't take long after he got his inheritance. Not after long after that, he gathered his stuff together and he took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And in verse 14 it says, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. How many of you know this road always leads to rubbish? Y'all remember what it's like to be living in rubbish? This old boy, just imagine him now. He's got a pocket full of money. His backpack's full of his inheritance. Probably got some gold and some silver. Probably got a few savings bonds and stuff. Pack slam pull. He's walking down that road and he's just taking his old merry time going out into this far country. I imagine when he first gets there, he scopes it out. Imagine as he's scoping it out, imagine it's all looking good to him. Imagine everything about it appealed to his flesh. I imagine when he first moved into town, everybody was there ready to help him unload. Everybody's there helping him find a place to live. Everybody there was willing to give him their right hand, the fellowship, if you will. They was ready to help him paint the house and make the walls look nice. And they probably even donated some furniture and helped him set everything up. I imagine a couple of them said, hey, let's have a cookout. And he's the first one they invited over. Then as they took their money and their efforts to the bar down the street, I imagine that the first few days he was buying everybody around on the house. I imagine everybody was his best friend. I imagine all the ladies was lining up just to be his buddy, if you will, because he had all this money, had all this inheritance. Man, everybody was his best friend. Everybody was on the bandwagon of the prodigal son. Everybody was wanting to ride in his vehicle, if you will. Everybody was wanting to be hooked up with the man that walked into town with all the money that his daddy had given him. And I imagine those first few days away from his daddy, everything was going well. Everybody was partying. Everybody was living it up. Everybody was having a good time. Everybody was drinking it up. Everybody was smoking it up. Everybody was just living a high life, if you will. And I imagine in the back backside of that boy's head, he was saying, I should have done this a long time ago. I knew more than my daddy. I knew there was more to life than just living on that farm. I knew there was more to life than just living in my daddy's house. I knew there was more to life than just living under my daddy's rules and my daddy's obligations and my daddy's dictatorship. I knew there was more to life than all of this, but he soon found out. Not long after he went down that road, he found himself leaving the father's house, the father's protection, the father's quarters, and now he's living in a pig pen full of a bunch of pigs. How many of you know the devil never shows you the end result at the end of the road? He'll show you the beautiful picture. He'll show you the beautiful women. He'll show you the best dope. He'll show you the best liquor. He'll show you the best times. He'll give you the most money. But at the end of the day, his ways are the end of death. He's taking you down a path that's going to destroy your life. But how many of you know that even though the devil gives you a lie, God's amazing grace never runs out? No matter how much rubbish is at the end of it, there's God's amazing grace that's there to pick us up in the middle of our rubbish. See, this old boy, he's partying. He's having a time. He's living it up. He's having just a good old time. But it didn't take long till the Bible says he spent all. All of a sudden, one day, he walked into the bar. Says, hey, bartender, me and my girls here, we want a shot, a fireball. And don't be skimpy with it now. We don't want just a regular shot. We want a double shot around the house. It's like, okay. Now, if that's much like I had in Vegas, my wife and I went to Vegas, a shot of fireball was $21. One night, we spent $11,000 in liquor in Las Vegas. Most of it was on shots of fireball. But here we are. Let's just picture the far country was Las Vegas. And let's just say this boy's drinking his shots, and all of a sudden, the end of the night comes, and the bartender prints off that ticket they always do at the end and gives you your bill. Here's your tab, boy. All right. $15,327. Well, that ain't nothing. It'll be all right. He reaches in this pocket. Wait a second. I always keep a wad of hundreds in there. Let me go over here. Oh, they'll be in this pocket. Wait a second. They ain't there either. Let me reach in my wallet. I always keep stuff back there. Pulls out his wallet and it's empty. Then he pulls out his other pocket and it's empty. Then he looks in his pocket here and it's empty. And he looks around. And them girls are gone. He looks at the bartender and says, hey, can you cut me some slack? I know we drank up a whole lot of stuff tonight, but for some reason I've misplaced my money. I think I've either been robbed or I just left my wallet there at the house. Let me go. Let me go back to my place and let me see if I can find where my money went. He goes back to his place and there's no money there, and there's no money to be found in his car. There's no money to be found anywhere. And all of a sudden he realizes he spent all. Just a couple verses before, he's living in the Father's house. He's living under the Father's protection. But just two verses later, preacher, he's done spent everything he had. Now he finds himself away from the Father's house. Now he is working with the pigs. I'm getting where I'm going. Just stay with me. Now he finds himself feeding the pigs. Now he finds himself wallowing around in a bunch of mud. How many of y'all know that when it starts out with the devil, you look good? But when the devil's done with you, you look like a bunch of money pigs. How many of you know when you start out with the devil, you're strutting really big, but by the time the devil's done with you, you're eating mud with the pigs and you're feeding with the pigs? Hey, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to start out up here, and then I know what it's like to find myself at rock bottom. But I'm here to tell you, it was because of God's grace that I'm not in hell tonight in the middle of that big pig. this young boy. Now he's done left the father's house. He's done went down that road. Now he's living in a bunch of rubbish. His life's a mess. It's all torn apart. He's broke. He's empty. And all his friends were gone. You say, how do you know? 16, verse 16 says, no man gave unto him. How many of you know whenever you're at your worst, a lot of times, ain't nobody going to be there to help you.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It goes a lot of times in the Christian world. A lot of times when you need something the most, there ain't nobody around to help you. I've been there too. A lot of times, whenever you need somebody, there ain't no helping hand there to help you. That's true. It's good preaching. Matter of fact, I'm going to stop right here and say this. It'd do you good to learn how to be compassionate. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It would do all of us good to be more forgiving and tender to others. Well, that's right. We want to soak up the grace of God. We have a hard time extending that grace. What's good preaching right there? We want to be the first one in line with our pots to get it filled up with grace. When somebody gets out of God's will, we want to be the first one to talk about it. Amen. You shout it on the singing, you can shout on this too. Hey, God, I need your grace. Fill up my cup full of your grace. Hey, Steve, did you hear about that church member that ran off of that preacher's wife?
Yeah,
it does happen. We should take a little bit of an example here in a little bit in Luke 15 of what the Father did to the Son. So here we are. He's in rubbish. Okay? He's lost everything he had. He ain't got nothing but a bunch of pigs and mud. He stinks. He's filthy. Now he is coped with looking in the mirror, realizing, I've messed up. I've lost my family. I've lost my father's house. I've lost my inheritance. All the people I thought were my friends are gone. And it's just me and a bunch of filthy pigs. Now, if he would have just stayed in that condition, guess what? He'd still be there today. But it didn't end there. After he went through the rubbish, after he figured out that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, after he figured out that Hebrews 11 says there is pleasures in sin for a season, after he realized the devil had duped him, and every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. After he figured all of that out, he had an option to get mad. He had an option to start blaming others. He could have said, well, it's just because how my daddy raised me is the reason why I'm right here. My daddy pushed me this way. He shouldn't have been so hard on me. There's just too many rules. There's just too many regulations. It's all my daddy's fault. But no, what did the prodigal say? He said in verse 17, when he came to himself. How many's glad the day y'all came to yourself? Oh, I'm about to have a spell. When he came to himself, guess what he started doing? We see here he started remembering. See, he done went through the rebellious stage. He done started walking down that road. Then he ran into his old rubbish. Now he starts remembering. How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? But it wasn't enough for him to remember where he was. It wasn't enough for him to remember how it used to be. It wasn't enough for him to remember the good times he used to have. It wasn't enough to remember the times he had God's power on his life. It wasn't enough to remember the times he was in fellowship with the Father. It wasn't enough just to remember the times him and his daddy had sweet communion together. It wasn't enough to remember how good his daddy was to him. But then he said after this, he said, I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. After he remembered, then he repented. It don't do you no good to remember how it used to be between you and God. You got to repent. I'm getting where I'm going. Just stay close by. See, he remembered. Just like most of us in 2019. We remember when God was in our church. We remember when God moved in our services. We remember when God anointed our preaching. We remember when God anointed our singing. But we never repented of what cost us anointing to start with. That's right. He repented. He said, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But listen, it still wasn't enough that he had repented to God and himself. He had to actually go to the Father's house and make things right with the person he left. Boy, this is good. You can repent to God all you want, but if I've sinned against you, Dylan, I can say, God, I'm sorry all I want, and that's wonderful. But I got to come to you. I got to make it right. This boy had lost everything. And he was in a place to where he was ready to do business with God and do business with his daddy. Now the Father in this passage of Scripture is a type of Christ. The house is the type of the church. So this boy left the umbrella of the Father's protection. He left the umbrella of the church's protection. And he went to a far country. But now, he finds himself sitting in a pig pen. He says, I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against my Father. I'm going to arise and I'm going to go to my Father. But talking about it didn't get the job done. Talking about it didn't fix the problem. Talking about it didn't renew the fellowship. Talking about it didn't put everything back together. Talking about it didn't give him the anointing back. Talking about it didn't get him the fellowship back. Talking about it didn't get everything hunky-dory, if you will. But what did he do? He put feet to his prayer. He put feet to his words. And the Bible says he arose and came to his Father. Now here we go. Daddy, stand up here. You good? So here we are. Good to see you. Here we are. We got this son. This son had everything a boy could want. This son had a home to live in. He had a father that loved him. He had servants there to get him anything he needed. They was all in one mind and one accord. Then he got hell in him. The hell came out of him. He says, I'm leaving everything I was taught. So he goes down to a far country, takes that road, enjoys the pleasures of sin for a season, gets down that road and finds out real quick the grass ain't always greener on the other side. And most of the time when it is greener on the other side, there's a big sewer tank underneath the grass. I'll say that again. When you're looking to have grass greener on the other side, hopping from church to church, there's a good chance there's a sewer right underneath that greener grass. Amen. That's good preaching. So here comes that boy. He's laying around in some mud, been around a bunch of filthy pigs, comes to his senses. He says, man, my goodness, even the hired servants at my father's house got it better than this. And here I am. I ain't got no friends. I ain't got no money. I ain't got no food. I ain't got nothing. I wonder where I went wrong. Then he came to himself. Said, I've sinned against heaven. Sinned against my daddy. I'm going to rise and go to my father's house. He steps out of that pig pen. Takes that first step.
Yes, sir.
I believe all you got to do is take that first step back to God. And his amazing grace is right there for you. Oh, I feel God bigger in Texas in my heart. I imagine he didn't try to get prettied up for his daddy. Didn't have no way to get cleaned up. He just had mud all over him. Ever smelt fermented mud? It's pretty stout. He's walking down this road. I wonder the whole time he's walking down this road, I wonder he's thinking, my daddy ain't going to take me back. My brothers are going to make fun of me. My house, they've done given my room to somebody else. He's going to laugh at me. He's going to hate me. He's gonna make fun of me and tell me I told you so. He's not going to take me back in the family, but I've got to go make things right. Maybe there'll be some room over in the hired servants' quarters. Maybe there'll be a dog lot out back. It'll be a lot better than this pig pen I've been sleeping in. Maybe he'll let me work for a little bit of food. I don't want him to take me back in because I've been so bad. But maybe, just maybe, he'll at least give me somewhere out back. And as he's walking down that old dusty road, I imagine he was getting more nervous. I imagine up at the house, I imagine the servants was working and maybe the father was out there somewhere working. Notice, the father never left the father's house to go look for the son.
Amen.
While the son was in the world, the father stayed put. Even when you are away from God, he's still in his place praying for you. Boy, that's good stuff. He's walking up the road. I imagine that hired servant came around. I imagine it came to that father and said, hey, I don't want to bug you. I know you're busy, but there's somebody that looks really dirty and really nasty coming down the road. It looks like a thief. It looks like somebody's got... It looks like somebody's really not up to no good. I just want to let you know, because we've had some problem with some burglaries around here, and I just want you to know, Father, I want you to know there's somebody coming up the road. Just keep an eye on it. Now, I imagine he said, okay, and imagine he came around the house, and as he came around the house, I imagine he looked up. Now, imagine as he looked up that first glance, I wonder what that father thought. Imagine as he looked down that road, I imagine if it went through his mind, wait a second, that looks like my boy. See, he had seen that boy walking away from him, and he saw the way the boy was walking coming back to him. Now, he didn't stand up there and wait on his boy to come to him and say, he left me, bless God, he's going to come back to me. He's going to get on his knees. He's going to beg for forgiveness. He didn't wait for the boy to come up there. He didn't say, you're too filthy. You're too dirty. You're too ugly. You ain't going to touch me. But that father was looking down that road, and as soon as he saw his boy, he went running to his boy, and he hugged his boy, and he hugged him. He went to his boy. You say, what is that? That's God's amazing grace. When you walk away from God, when you get away from God, when you walk away from the loving Father, his grace is waiting on you. His grace is ready. His grace is ready to come back to you and to fill you and to claim you and to put you back in the family of God. So I don't believe that. Read your Bible. It says, when he was yet a great way off. He didn't wait till he got to the front porch. That boy was still a long ways away from the Father's house. He was still a long ways away from the church of God. But whenever he saw him away off, he ran to him. How many of you remember when Jesus ran to you? You were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. You were living in the mud pit of sin. But thanks be to God, he saw you far away off. Somebody help me. He saw you far away off. And he went to you. He fell on your neck and he kissed you. Not only did the Father see him, but he had compassion. Didn't say here they had a discussion of all the sin he committed. Grace doesn't bring up your sin. Grace is applied to your sin. That's good. We want to bring up everybody's sin. But the Father don't bring up your sin. All he does is say, welcome home. The Father ran to the boy. Some of y'all ain't getting this. I'm talking about God's amazing grace. You remember when God went running to you? Listen, I want to help you here. I got to catch my breath and I'll preach some more. You didn't find God nowhere. Don't go around telling people you found God. You ain't found God. You wasn't looking for God. You didn't want God. You didn't care nothing about God. You wasn't finding nothing. God found you. Next time you go say that, catch yourself. Jesus found you. This Father saw him. He didn't sit around to analyze it. He didn't think, wow, he's filthy. He ran to him. Notice the dirt on him didn't keep him from kissing him. The dirt on him didn't keep him from hugging him. The dirt on him didn't keep him from rejecting him. The Bible says that the Father and the Son reconciled. The Son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Now listen, this is what grace does. Come here, Dylan. I'm having a time. Sit right there. His boy shows up, smells like dirt. Probably smells like feces. Probably having a hangover. All the liquor he'd been drinking. Partying. Track marks. Shooting up drugs. Bags under his eyes. Just filthy. The Father didn't say, get in there and take a shower. Clean up. And then we'll talk. He didn't say, go put some cologne on, mother. Brush those filthy teeth. Then we'll talk. But he immediately said, hey, servants, go in there and just find some jeans with some holes in it. Go in there and find some clothes that y'all got from Goodwill. Go in there and find something from Salvation Army. No. He said, go in there and bring me the best robe. Stand up. What did he do? He put the best robe.
Amen.
He put the best robe over top of his boy. You say, why? Because he wanted to get him cleaned up. He wanted to cover up all that sin. He wanted to cover up all that filth. He wanted to cover up all that dirt. He wanted to cover up all of that past. He wanted to cover up that mistake. That way when he walked into the Father's house, it would look like he'd never even left. It looked like the day that he left. It looked like the very moment he lived in the house. That's what grace does. Hallelujah. It'll take a blackened heart. It'll take a wicked sinner. It'll take a dirty sinner. It'll take you. It'll cover you up. It'll make you look like you never even left. Bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Now, if you're hearing a vegetarian, you probably don't like that verse. But it didn't say go pick berries. It didn't say go get a head of lettuce. It didn't say go get some spinach. It didn't say go get a soy burger. And it didn't say go get a veggie burger. It said go get a calf and kill it. Amen. Got him a calf and he killed it. It said, let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. This signifies that he was alive at one time before, which means we're talking about a saved man here. Yes. If you've never been saved, you've never been alive. Why do I smell smoke? If you're smoking, put your cigarette out. Ain't time to smoke. You heard me. Ain't time to smoke. Put the cigarette out. Stinks. Lord, help me. You say you don't make somebody mad. I hope I make them mad. This ain't a place to smoke. This is the holy ground. This ain't a bar. This is the tent. But here we are. We're in the Father's house. He kills a fatted calf. They come in. They be merry. And he says, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Not only was there rubbish, rebellion, a road, remembrance, repenting, but then they started rejoicing. Everybody started rejoicing. Everybody was happy. Everybody was merry. Because here this son once was dead. Now he's alive again. You say, D.R., what are you trying to say? I'm saying that grace was grace enough to save me, but grace is grace enough to keep me time and time and time and time again. You say, are you preaching two works of grace? No, whoever limited grace to just two times. I need grace every day of my life. I need grace in the morning. I need grace at lunch. I need grace at night. I'll need grace tomorrow. I'll need grace next week. I'll need grace next year. I'm just saying, I'm thankful for God's amazing grace. I said, I'm thankful, thankful, thankful. And if you're thankful, give God some glory for his amazing grace. Now, I'm not done. Here we see there's always somebody in the bunch to try to ruin it. Not only do we see there was rebellion from the son, there was a road he went down, there was rubbish, then we see he remembered, repented, rejoiced. This right here is a perfect type of revival. You've got the Father type of Christ, Father's house type of church, then you got somebody that's been revived. He was full of sin. He was full of sin. He was away from God. Revival hit that house. And this boy got revived. Now everybody's rejoicing, everybody's merry, everybody's having a good old time. They're killing fatty calves, they're putting robes on, bringing rings and shoes. Everybody's in one mind and one accord in the church, and they're having a full-blown revival. But then, listen now, there was an older brother. There's always an older brother when it comes to revival. Hey, some older brothers been to this meeting. You say, what are you saying? Verse 25. Now this elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Now look at this. He heard music and dancing. He had to ask somebody what was going on because he wasn't used to hearing that. Because there hadn't been no revival in the house since the boy left. I'm going to preach two messages in one here, so just listen. So here this older son's in the field. He walks in, he hears all this music, all this dancing. He hears all this noise and all the excitement. He's like, well, what is that? He didn't even have a clue. Which means they had not even experienced any of this revival while the boy was away. Follow with me now. And as he heard it, he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said to him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now look at this next phrase. He was angry. Now listen. Listen closely. The prodigal son that left was saved. Got out of the will of God, came back, and was revived. The boy that stayed at home was the one full of hell the whole time and never been born again. Only somebody that doesn't want revival, only somebody that can't rejoice when God's moving, is somebody that gets angry at it when it happens. Amen. It's good preaching. He was angry. And look, he would not go in. His brother here now. His brother's over here. He's been gone for no tellings how long. He left the father's house. He went and spent his inheritance on righteous living. They didn't know if he was dead or alive, if he was buried, if he had been killed, murdered. He didn't know. And now the servant says, hey, he's home. He's home. He just got home, and now everybody's shouting and rejoicing, and revivals broke out in the house of God, and his brother gets angry and says, I'm not going in. Therefore, look what the father did the second time. He went after the first boy, and he went after the second boy. He said, how do you know? Look at your Bible. He says in 28, therefore came his father out and entreated him. What does entreat mean? Nope. The word entreat means to beg. So the father came out and started begging the other son. Do you know what I believe God is doing to his people here? God is entreating his people. He is begging Rogersville. Listen. I know that you've messed up. I know that you've gotten away from me. I know and I understand that you've left me. But I'm begging you, I'm right where you left me at. I'm in the same place that I've always been. I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. I'm right where I am. And you can come into the Father's house and we can have revival because of my amazing grace. He came out and begged him. He answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. How did this older brother know that his younger brother had slept around with harlots? It's not in that scripture. Nowhere in that scripture does it say, all it says is he spent his living on righteous living. But the older brother says he spent all his living with a bunch of harlots. How'd he know that? He made it up. How did he know? How did he know that? He didn't know that. He made it up in his mind. That's what happens when you get somebody that gets angry with what God's doing in somebody else's life. It's amazing how easy it is to start adding to the story. Somebody gets out of church for a few weeks, and before it gets through 300 people, they've had an affair on 12 women. They've stolen 2 kids. They've embezzled $65 million from the church that only had $100 in the bank account. And now all of a sudden, now they've ruined their testimony. That's good preaching. He was angry. He said, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found." You say, what are you getting at? We see a prodigal son that experienced God's amazing grace. He had a rebellious heart. He went down a road. He got into rubbish. He started remembering of where he came from and what he was missing out on. He repented. Repentance means deep sorrow. To do the opposite. To turn away. He acknowledged his sin. He went to the Father and repented. They started having revival. They started rejoicing. But then we see the revival was wrecked because of the older brother. What's 4 ways you'll shut down this revival? This is where I'm getting at. What's 4 ways you've shut down this revival tonight? You can do like this older brother. It can be an uncommon sound. You say, what do you mean an uncommon sound? What God's been doing around this place is an uncommon sound to a lot of people. Brother Ron, it's an uncommon sound for people to praise God anymore. It's an uncommon sound for people to call out to God on their face praying. It's an uncommon sound for preachers to be together in one mind and one accord. It's an uncommon sound, and that can shut down the revival. Number two, how could this older son shut down the revival? The Bible says he was angry. That means he was unforgiving. He was unforgiving of his younger brother. Do you know what will shut down this revival? Not extending grace to others like God's extended grace to me. Well, it's quiet. If you extended grace to everybody as much as everybody's extending grace to you, you could have revival. If I extended grace to others as much as God's extended it to me, we could have revival. But do you notice after verse number 32, I believe it is, what happens after the last verse in the chapter? It goes to chapter 16. The story ends. I believe the older brother shut down the revival in the house because of his unforgiving spirit. He didn't extend grace like grace had been extended to him. But what else will shut down the revival? Not only an uncommon sound and an unforgiving spirit, but then we see where it says in verse 31, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." His daddy had done give him everything. It was already his. But he was unthankful. Do you want to shut down this revival? You need to be careful about being unthankful. God's amazing grace deserves our praise every night, not just one night when we feel like it. I'll say that again. God's amazing grace deserves us to be thankful every night, not just when we feel like it. You want to keep the power of God moving through the house? You want to keep everybody in unity and one accord. Don't get unthankful. I'm thankful for what God's done around here. But it's nothing I've done, and it ain't nothing you've done. It's all because God's amazing grace. I believe with all my heart, Mother, and nobody can prove it ain't different because it ain't in there. I believe this older brother shut down the whole revival in the house all because of his attitude. His attitude of unthankfulness. His attitude of unforgiveness. I want to always be thankful for God's amazing grace. Just stop what you're doing right now and think about how God's been gracious to you. See, you know who you are. You know who you really are. This father knew. He didn't have to ask his boy where he'd been. He didn't have to ask his boy what all he had done. All he had to do was ask his boy, here, stand still, let me put the best on you. He covered up all of that past. And he didn't drag it back up. He was just thankful his son was alive again. I wonder if God is sitting on his throne and he's just waiting for his children to be alive again. Is he begging us tonight? Saying, just come back. My grace ain't never ran out. My grace ain't never going to run out. I have revival planned. I have the best robe to put on you. I have the best ring to put on your finger. I have the best shoes to put on you. I don't care what you've done. But if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful for God's grace.
If you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, please visit VOHministries.org to see how you can be forgiven of your sins and know that heaven is your eternal home. Also, be sure to check out our library of books, including DR's personal testimony, From a Bar to a Burden. Make any donation to Voice of Hope Ministries, and you will receive this week's complete message free. Until next time, this has been the Awakening Bible Hour.